Reformed Church.
I just spent just some time worshiping the Lord, and resurrection life kept coming to mind, like over and over again, resurrection life. And it's a really cool thing. There is a ton of information in Romans chapter 6, just a lot, and things that are clear, and maybe some things that are unclear, and things that we don't understand. But there is a lot, though, here. And really, the idea of what I want to just bring you through very, very quickly. It's not that long of a chapter, but I want to just bring you through very quickly is whose life it is that we have. If you could just think about that for a second, right? When we think about that the Lord came to give us life and life abundantly, that we have eternal life, that we can partake of life and life, and we talk about life and life so much, right? There is a difference between the life that we have and the life that we had, right? Because we were alive before, right? We were breathing, right? But when the Lord says that we have life, right? When the Lord says that we have life, that's not the same life that we had before, right? So it's just a really cool thing to be able to see that the life that we have is His life. His life. And that's a really important thing, that when you say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for life, you're thanking Him for it. It's His life that we have. In other words, the when Romans 6 starts talking about the death that we have, it's His death, right? Because it says that we have died with Him, right? But the reason why He brings us into that mix is because the death that He died was not for His own sin, right? It was for our sin. So that means that if the Lord died, the significance of His death to us is that He died our death. Now, I may not understand entirely how all of that works, but I do know that the death that He died was my death, right? That was the wage for my sin, was that death, right? And the life that the Lord is, that He has now after His resurrection, which, you know, it wasn't talking about the life that He had when He walked during His ministry, right? But the life that it's making reference to is His resurrection life. In other words, His life after death, right? In other words, the life that He entered into, his glorification, right? His glorified life. That's the life that it's saying we have, right? So when you think about that, when you think about any Christian across the world that would agree that they have eternal life, like when you say that, what is it that you think you're saying you have, right? Because if what you're saying you have is that you have the life of Christ, right, on the inside of you, then that's one thing, right? But there's so much, and I'm definitely, like I said, I'm not going to try to unpack everything, because we could probably spend a lot of time, but there's just, what I really just want to bring you your attention to is, whose death is it that He said that we are should also reckon ourselves to be also dead with? And whose life is it that we should consider that we have? Just those two things. Whose death is it that we have, and whose life is it that we have, right? And really starting from verse number 1 in Romans chapter 6 is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And that's coming from chapter 5. It says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, it begins talking about that we have died to sin, right? So there is a way, obviously, that we died to sin, but it wasn't because we died to sin by ourselves. It is because, right, He was crucified for our sin. So therefore, since He was crucified for our sin, then we should consider ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, because we received that death. Now, that didn't just come by osmosis, right? Because Jesus died for the sin of the world, and all the world does not have or possess the death of the rest of their body, right? They don't have that death to sin. And I might have just mixed up two things in there right now, but the entirety of the world does not have death to sin, right? In other words, the entirety of the world are slaves in their body to sin, right? We don't have that slavery anymore, right? Because we have His life, right? But He says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? So He gives you a clue there as to how we entered into that death, right? It was through the baptism of the Spirit of God that we entered into that death, right? And then He says, therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. And He just reemphasizes the same thing again, that the baptism, and I don't know, this is just I'll just leave it as opinion, right? That when he's saying that we were buried with him, right? That burial that he's talking about is the same, the death that he was talking about before, right? That he said that we were baptized into his death, and this is therefore we were buried with him through baptism, right? I think he's saying the same thing just with two interchangeable words, being the buried with him or baptized into his death. So he says, buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ, and that's the important thing, right? Because there's a lot of that going on in Romans chapter 6. Just as Christ, which is the whole mirror thing to us, right? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So that's an important thing, because it's saying, what it's talking about there is his glorification, right? It's not talking about his earthly, the life that he lived during his earthly ministry. It's talking about he died on the cross, and then the glory of the Father, which is the Spirit of God, right, that we know, he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. So he was dead, and now he's alive. That's his resurrection life, right? That people talk about, resurrection life. So he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And then it says, even so we, again, the mirror, right? Even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, there is no, it's just an interesting thing. There are some things in this chapter that kind of lead you to believe where maybe he's making reference there to the day to come. But it's pretty clear, like, where he's starting the chapter from. He's talking about the past death of Christ, and then his glorification, which is also in our past, right? And here it's saying our present, even so we also should walk present time in that newness of life. Now, that's not talking about a day to come. He's talking about walk now, but he doesn't just say walk in newness, right? Like in some behavior or in some action. He's saying walk in the newness of life. Whose life? Walk in the newness of life. He's not talking about us walking if he talks about the old man, he's talking about your old life that you had, right? He specifically says the newness of life, right? Which the life that he's making reference to is the life of Christ, his glorified life that he has right now. The kind of life that Jesus enjoys and basks in today, that life is the one that he's saying we should walk in that newness of life, right? Because there is no other life that we have, right? We either had our old life, or if we have a new one, it's his, right? Because that's where the just as Christ and the even so we, right? It's talking about his. Look at his. That's what you have, right? So we should walk in that life, right? That life that we possess, that new life that we have from Christ. He says, for if we, and then it makes some clarifications. And again, I'm not going to pretend to understand all of this, but he says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, in other words, if we have associated ourselves with the death of Jesus, right, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now it doesn't say life. Now it says resurrection, right? And obviously it's pretty much a given. If you talk about resurrection, let's talk about resurrection life, because it was from the dead you have life, right? From the dead you have resurrection. Resurrection is definitely talking about life, right? So he says, if we've been, basically he's saying, if you have his death, then you have his life, right? If you have his death, then you have his life. Then he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. So obviously we lived in a slavery that we no longer have a slavery to. And he says it specifically, that the way that you know that you don't have that slavery is because he doesn't. Because Jesus does not have a slave, and he says it in a second, because Jesus doesn't have that slavery to sin, neither do you. He says that just perfectly in a second. I'll show you. He said that the body of sin might be done away with, and that be done away with is just that it would be made inactive. The body of sin, that, right, is inactive. So in other words, it has no power, no dominion over us, right? The life that we live is, if we continue to live in that newness of life, right, we can live in that newness of life without any hindrance from the flesh, right? Without any, in other words, it is not our hindrance, right? I know that there's a lot of the body of Christ, including what I used to believe years and years ago, that I believe that the flesh was a direct competitor and huge foe to the Spirit of God in me. But this is clear, right? The body is no foe at all to the Spirit in us, right? verse number 7 says, let's read that again. Verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And again, just to ground our mind, that's not talking about tomorrow. That's talking about today. That we should no longer right now be slaves to sin. So if you're not a slave to sin, that's why he says before, because of the weakness of our flesh, talking about you're a slave to righteousness, right? The awesome thing when he starts mixing righteousness with life is that you know that the Spirit in us is life because of that righteousness. So he makes often reference to righteousness and life over and over again, right? Verse number 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin, right? He who has died has been freed from sin. It says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. It's the exact same reference that he was making before. If we have his death, we have his life. Here he's saying, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, that's talking about resurrection again, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, right? That's that mirror that he's saying, right? Because he died to sin, we're not slaves of sin anymore. He says death no longer has any dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And then verse 11, and I'll probably stop here just for the sake of time. Verse number 11 says, likewise, you also reckon or consider yourselves, again, talking about right now, not tomorrow, right? Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God, alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's just a really cool thing. There's more there, and he goes into talking about the same thing again about the life that we have, but it's just a cool thing to be able to see that the life that we have is the same life that Christ has today. And if we agree that we have a new life, then whose life is that? Like, how do we know what that life is like? It's just beholding his life is the same life that we have, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.